God, we thank you that you're a God that personally cares about us, and that we are not at the end of this destination, wherever we are sitting in here today, but that we were on a journey, and that journey involves a continual progress and growth and change that you have for us. And I would just ask that you would help us come into a little bit clearer focus today on the change you want to work in each one of our lives and how that impacts and is fed by the community that you've put around us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, stories like that, and there's more of them, I mean, they're crazy. I mean, it's crazy to hear about kind of stuff that is changing and growing in people's hearts. And you know, you hear stories like that, and if you don't say they're crazy, you at least say, boy, that's not normal. You know, that's not normal. When you hear stories like that, it sticks with you for a reason. And the reason that it sticks with you is it's not something that you often hear. It's kind of not true to the norm, those kind of stories and that kind of stuff that is happening in people's lives. But you know what's interesting? What is really crazy about this whole thing, this idea of a biblically functioning community, of which Crossroads is one of. We are one, but there are many, you know, in the area, but we are one biblically functioning community. Part of the definition of that is that stories like that should not surprise us. Stories like that, they should encourage us, we should be excited about them, we should be thankful about them, but surprised, no. We should not be surprised about them. As a matter of fact, the picture that God gives in the Bible of what our lives are like is one of continual growth. That should be the norm. If somebody finds themselves within a biblically functioning community, stories like that should be the norm. It should be expected. What we should be surprised about is when somebody isn't changing and when somebody isn't growing. And the Bible is very clear about that. As a matter of fact, in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul talks about this in a letter that he wrote to the church at Ephesus. And what he says in there, how he sums it up, he says, "Now your attitudes and thoughts must all be constantly changing for the better." Must all be constantly changing for the better. But yet, we are often surprised when we hear stories like that. And the reason why we're surprised, of course, is that they don't happen that often. And the reason why I think they don't happen that often is that a lot of us think stories of growth, stories of profound change, of development in people's hearts, are ones that, you know, just kind of happen. That they, you know, it's kind of like winning the lottery or being struck by lightning. It's kind of something that just happens to us. If we hang around long enough, you know, maybe it'll happen to us as well. But what we found from the very time that we started Crossroads and we looked at the Bible and the way God works in people's lives is that we do not naturally drift into growth. Our normal state is not one of change and growth. That it's not something that we just kind of drift into. That there is a very proactive piece of it in what God does in our life and what we need to do as part of changing and growing in our life. So from the very time we started Crossroads, we've been looking at what kind of environments does God seem to most work change and growth in people's hearts in. And we've looked at the Bible, you know, really extensively of what is the picture of change and growth that's in the Bible, the way God works. How is this played out in our individual lives as leaders here? And also, how is this played out, you know, in the lives around us in these 7.5 years of Crossroads? And then the last step has been some pretty extensive research that we've done where we identified the people around the country, the thinkers and the leaders who've most impacted us spiritually in our life, and we spent time with them talking to them about their growth. And what has emerged from that in the last several years is this kind of framework that we use for growth here at Crossroads. So what I want to do this morning is we want to kind of pull back the curtain a little bit, and we want to kind of talk about the overall framework for growth that we've designed at Crossroads and that is continually evolving and continually changing here, but it's based on some very core principles. We call them five windows of spiritual growth. And we call them the five windows because there's five of them. Huh? Yeah? We quick on that. And we think windows sounds kind of cool without being kind of infomercial, let's walk on coals and self-actualize, you know, kind of stuff. So we call them five windows. And what they are through the combination of all this learning that we've had, they are specific windows in our life that God seems to work profound growth within people. Now, I want to give you one caveat here. These are not kind of five steps to being a better person. You know, it's kind of not like five sequential things that you do. It's not, you know, I finished window number one and now I get my certificate suitable for framing, you know, and now I move on to, you know, kind of window number two. They are, some of them are things that we don't ask for in our life, but they happen to us. And some of them are things that we go back to in our life, in some specific rhythm in our life that we go back to and go in and out of these windows at different times. So I'd like to just kind of do a flyover of those and then talk a little bit more specifically about what that means for us at Crossroads. The first window that we found is one that we call New Follower of Christ. New follower of Christ. And what, you know, when we use the term follower of Christ here, when I talk about being a new follower of Christ, this is not, when I first join some organized religion. You know, this is not when I first get some membership card somewhere or when I first start doing these various, you know, specific things every day. This is this deal that we talk about here, which is coming to that point in our life where we realize that there's a relationship with my Creator that's kind of broken, and, restoring that relationship, the key to it is not what I can do for God. The key to restoring that relationship is what God has done for me. And it's this radical thing called grace that we talk about here. That it's not, it's what God has done for me. And it's what He's done through His Son Jesus that I'm able to change and I'm able to grow in this relationship with my Creator is being restored. Well, we have found when somebody wrestles with that and really starts to kind of ask questions and apply what that means to their life, whether they've been going to church for 30 years or 30 seconds, when they first encounter that kind of truth of this thing called grace, within the first year or two of their lives, it's a very pivotal period. What experiences they have, what serving opportunities they get involved in, what relationships they form, what knowledge they kind of are exposed to, has a profound impact on the growth of their life for the rest of their lives. So New Follower of Christ is one that we take very serious here. And we talk about what kind of environment are we creating that causes people to get the right foundation in place and get the right direction for this kind of healthy growth in their life. So that's the first one. The second window that we found is crisis. Crisis. Now, this could be a time of significant pain in your life, you know, or it could be just overall a general time of a very chaotic period in your life. We have found that this is a pivotal window in our lives. Again and again, this is a pivotal window for growth. We all have seen it. We've all seen two people that we know go through the same kind of crisis in their life. Maybe it's a physical illness, maybe it's a relationship hitting the rocks or whatever it is, and one person comes out on the other end a little bit more seasoned, with a little bit more growth. The other person comes out on the other end a little more bitter, a little more broken. And we found that it is the kind of community that somebody is in when they're in this crisis that determines how God is working in their life and whether they're going to come out, you know, with more health or not. So period of crisis, you know, our life. And, you know, we all kind of have it. We all have it. You know, kind of just take a minute here and just kind of look around you real quick. Look to your left. You know, look to your right. I mean, what's the first, most of you, you know, what do you see? You know, you primarily see people that are pretty cleaned up, right? You know, I know there's some corners back there that, you know, but most of you, you know, people are pretty cleaned up. You know, they're looking pretty good. Now, and that's true of a lot of our lives is that, you know, we are pretty cleaned up and we have some good things going on in our life. Now, but the other part of the truth is I know that for a lot of us, a big piece of that is also a bit of a facade. That below that nice cleaned up exterior, there is some pain, that there's some bleeding going on. And at some point along the way, our definition of growing up becomes being able to hide our scars from other people. And we think about, you know, a place like, you know, a place called church. Well, that's where I go. And everybody that's really good at faking it, they all get together and kind of compare notes, you know, kind of in this area. And so we come in here and it's something that we would call looking real good and hurting real bad. That we could come in here week after week and sit here and be looking real good and never opening up to the people that are closest to us in our life about the real kind of pain. We could sit in here every weekend looking real good, but yet just beneath that nice new shirt, there's some real bleeding going on. Several years ago, Nancy and I bought a house, first house, and I decided to build a deck off the back of it. Now, those of you who know me know that I'm not so good with the hand tools, okay? You know, but this was a particularly dark moment in my home improvement history, you know, here that played out. I bought this house, and I decided to build a deck off the back of the house. I had to build a deck off the back of the house. And I'm still kind of trying to figure out how to tell this without sounding quite so dumb. And I haven't quite found the right words. So I'd just say I kind of saw it across my own leg, you know, when I was when I was building the deck. Yeah, thank you for your concern. I appreciate that. What happened was I kind of let the boards all, you know, kind of run off the end. I snapped the chalk line. I was down with a handsaw, you know, kind of trimming them off. And on one of the upswings of the saw, the blade came out of the groove, and I didn't know it. So on the downswing, it kind of went, you know, right across my leg. And then surprisingly enough, on the backswing, it did kind of did the same thing. I learned a lot about physics and, you know, everything at that moment. Well, I mean, Nancy's not home. You know, we don't have any kids at the time. Nancy's not home. Her sister's visiting from out of town. They're out doing something. So I, like, look down, you know, see all this blood, and I, like, immediately, you know, fortunately, my cat-like reflexes, you know, I could fall back on at the time, and I immediately kicked in. I realized immediately there are two very important things for me to do right now. I can't go in shock. There are two things I need to concentrate on right now. What, you know, first thing, I need to stop the bleeding, right? And then the second thing, I need to make sure no one ever finds out about this, you know, in any way. So that came my kind of defining rule, you know, was there. Those two things, I got to do these two things. So Nancy was a nurse at the time, ran upstairs, got her little kit. I got some gauze and kind of combination of gauze and duct tape. I was able to kind of close it up, wrap it around. And I put this big, you know, bandage kind of thing on it. And then I went upstairs and found kind of the baggiest shorts I could so I could cover it, you know, and put them on. Because I thought, you know what? There's no reason to weigh her sister down visiting from out of town with this story of me cutting my leg, you know, with the saw. I don't need to bother her with that. So I thought, you know, I'll cover it up and no one will ever know the difference. And I went back to finishing the deck. So Nancy comes home. I'm out there cutting out the deck. She says, wow, honey, this is looking really good. What's with all the blood? You know? And what's that, you know, kind of bandage, you know, kind of, I said, all right, I'm busted, you know, and I'd say, well, you know what, I cut myself a little bit, you know, but I'm okay, and I'm okay, it's fine, you don't need to look at it, I'm fine. Well, she's a nurse, she really wanted to look at it, so I said, hey, I'm okay, but she looked at it, and, you know, sure enough, I was right, I was okay, you know, 2 hours and 7 stitches and a tetanus shot later, I was okay, you know. And, you know, the thing was, the stitches and the tetanus shot, they only took about a half hour. The remaining hour and a half was them keeping me there so that each new shift that came on, I could explain the story of, so like these new ER orderlies and nurses would come on and say, hey, come here, here's the guy that sawed his own leg, you know, bring him over and they'd say, wow, what, were you using some kind of sawzall and it kind of got away from you? I said, no, it was a handsaw. I just kind of right across my leg. And I'm fine now, but you know, I wonder if I had stayed on my course where my primary concern was looking good and Nancy not finding out about it, her sister, nobody learning about that. You know what? I was looking fine. I was looking real good. But underneath, I was bleeding. I was hurting. And I wonder today how that wound quite would have formed over if it had been just up to me. And you know, in these 7.5 years of Crossroads, you know, kind of my informal analysis, you know, very casual but informal, is I would estimate that at least half of us in here right now, at least half, have had our lives personally impacted by either chemical, physical, or sexual abuse. At least half of us, and that's probably a conservative estimate. And that's not even taking into account all the other stuff, you know, the relationship roller coasters that we are on, or the intense pressure that we're feeling in our new business or at work, or, you know, all the other kind of junk that comes at us in life. But yet, we can find a way to walk in here every week and be looking real good all the while we're hurting real bad. We've got all this bleeding going on under our clothes, and we see our good friends in the lobby, and they say, how are you doing? And we say, fine. That is not what a biblically functioning community is supposed to be. As a matter of fact, God says in the Bible that one of the ways we heal, one of the ways we grow, is through each other. That's one of his delivery vehicles for growth and healing. One of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. Again, it's Paul writing in 2 Corinthians 1:3-4. He says, he's the God of all comfort, but he comforts us in all our trouble. Why? He gives us a reason here. He comforts us in all our trouble so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. That there's this kind of, hard to understand, but this chain of grace that plays out within a biblically functioning community, anyone that's operating that way, plays out where God uses us to help heal each other. That us sharing our pain with others helps us heal and it helps them heal. And so we found that crisis and pain is a key window that we need to be serious about. And we don't do this perfect by any means, but we have a continual emergence of these kind of areas to help all of us, you know, when we're going through these windows. Well, new follower of Christ, crisis, the third window that we have found is what we call cross-cultural serving. Cross-cultural serving. Now here is the soundbite that we kind of get on this. Maybe it's somebody who went and did something 10 miles away or 10,000 miles away. But they went in some sort of environment that was foreign to them, that was different than their day-to-day environment. They went there and served, and they come back, and in one form or the other, this is the soundbite we always get. I went there and did this thing, thinking it was about helping them, and I came back and realized it was about God changing and growing me. And we found that over and over again in those around Crossroads, that that's the kind of thing that happens. I've found it in my own life, you know, whether it be something in Over the Rhine or something in rural Appalachia or in the Dominican Republic or Romania or wherever, something about getting out of my suburban box does something where it looks and it smells and it sounds different than what I'm used to, but yet God is still there. And what it tends to do is it tends to increase our vision of who God is and grow our heart at the same time. It's what I've come to call God without penicillin or even Starbucks. He does exist. Believe it or not, you know, he does exist. We go to these places and we see, oh, wow, there's joy and there's peace and contentment here. And they don't have any of these things that I thought is what that equation was made up of. And then we see God and we come back with a clearer and a bigger picture of God. Not that we don't have God within our suburban box here. We do. But we see other parts of God and that grows us and grows our image of God. So cross-cultural serving is an absolute pivotal window we all need to return to again and again if we're going to be on a constant growth curve. The fourth window is first leadership, what we call first leadership opportunity, which is now this is kind of crazy, just the very concept of this in the first place, that a window of growth would be your first leadership opportunity, because how we tend to think of leadership, we tend to think about leadership as a time when I leverage all my learning, all my skills, all my experiences, I leverage that to lead and help others. And that's certainly a piece of it. But what we find again and again is that leadership is a time where as much growth and change and learning happens in us as it does the people that we're leading. And again we see that there's something funky that when we realize that when we step out and we serve in some corner of what God's doing on this earth, when we step out and serve in that area, we realize that God didn't call me to his work because he needs me. He uses me, yeah. God called me to his work because he wants to change and grow me. And so that's why we talk about that so much around here, getting involved in serving and, you know, stepping up to leadership, because we know, we've just seen over and over again, whether it's in the Bible or it's in the lives of people that are sitting around you right now, there is something about stepping up to lead others for the purpose of God's work that something very sacred happens that happens in no other area of our life. So first, leadership and ongoing leadership opportunities, very key to our growth. And then finally, sharing our story. Times when we share our story. And, you know, this is just simply the thing that says, you know, when God is doing something in your life, it is a natural extension of your life to share that story with others. And what we think again as well, I share my story in that, you know, if I've gone through something bad and then now I'm kind of in a better place, I share that, you know, as a point of encouragement to others. But it is not only encouragement to others, it is also a way by us sharing our story with others in some weird way, God uses that to grow and challenge us as well. And it's not all kind of, you know, these, you know, kind of success story, you know, kind of thing. It's sharing parts of our stories with others that says, you know what? And this is a part in my life that still stinks, that I haven't quite figured out. But when we open up and we share our story, it's a source of encouragement for others, but it's also a challenge for us to grow as well. Which is why we talk about that so much at Crossroads. Which is why people took that time in those 60-second story booth out there last week and then ongoing during the series. They're continuing to do it. But last week they took that time to duck in there and just share this kind of thing that God is stirring in their hearts. Because something in them says, this is something I'm not supposed to keep to myself. Because I probably wouldn't be standing here if everybody else had kept it to themselves. Something about sharing our story, which is why you'll see stuff on video up here. It's why you'll see stories, you know, from interview or in printed stuff that we do. It's a very profound part of our growth when we share our story. And even I would say it's a bit of a misnomer, because it's not really sharing my story. It's sharing my part of God's story and what God has done in my life in a very real way with others. Key part of our growth. Well, those are what we call, you know, kind of five windows of here, and that's the overall framework by which we approach how we're doing as far as helping people grow and what we feel God has called us to from the Bible of what a biblically functioning community looks like. It takes these five windows very serious. What I'd like to do, though, is spend a little bit of time talking about how that kind of plays out in a very practical way, and even a little bit of how it more applies to us, you know, as we're sitting in here right now. So to do that, I'd like to invite a couple folks up here for me. If you could just welcome Dana Cooper and Brian Tome.
Tom.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you.
Well, welcome, guys.
Hey, Brian.
Now, you know, almost everybody here probably knows Brian, but, you know, we do have new people here, you know, every weekend. Such as, this is Brian Tome. This is our senior pastor. And this is Dana Cooper. And Dana has been on staff here at Crossroads for about 4 months now,
yep.
four and a half months, and is our director of spiritual growth. And we'll talk a little bit about, well what is that? But I thought a great place to start would be just a little bit kind of, since people are getting to know you for the first time, just your own kind of story.
Sure. Well, I grew up in Cincinnati, suburban life, oldest of four kids, overachiever, you know, was a good person. And we attended church in my family. It was just something that people really more normally did back in those days. And
back in those days.
And I never really
How long ago were those days?
It was a while ago.
I'm sorry. I'm going to interrupt for a second here. In the other services, the banter goes on for a little while, and Brian eventually pries out of her that she's 48 years old. So we're.
I thought for once we were going to get through this without
that.
Okay. So yeah, that's true. So I was growing up in the '60s, right? '60s and '70s,
wow.
And people went to church, but. But, you know, I just never really connected. And my life was really all about control. It was about being a good student, being a good athlete, being a good person, going to the right college, and then getting into the right career. And, you know.
And how was that going?
It was going great. Got married out of college. My husband and I lived all over the country. We had great jobs, lots of fun travel, good restaurants to eat in, and all that good stuff. And after 9 years of that, we had our first child. And we were out in Phoenix, a long way away from home. Everybody, you know, all of our family's here in Cincinnati still. And I just hit a point of crisis. Now, that doesn't sound like it might be a big crisis, but I was used to control. I knew how to control a business, a budget, people I, you know, worked with, that kind of thing. I had no clue how to control a child. And there, you know, and there we were, you know, 2,000 miles away from the people who really cared about us. We had friends, but nobody had kids, and we had two small children. I was in my early 30s. I was not working at the time. My husband was traveling still a great deal, and I was totally alone. It was really hard, and I not only was alone in not understanding what to do with these young children, but I was really afraid I was going to ruin their lives.
So this was like crisis for you, the window of crisis.
Absolutely. I mean, I wanted to do the right thing with my children, and I was afraid I didn't know how to build into their lives or develop them into people of character.
Now, you've talked about a particular defining moment on the living room floor.
Oh, yeah. You know, for the first 6 months after my second was born, and they're less than 2 years apart, I think the three of us sat down and just cried. I mean, you know, it was deplorable. And then it gets even better. My husband lost his job. My father had a severe heart attack back here in Cincinnati, and major quadruple bypass operation. This was back in the mid-80s, so it wasn't quite as perfected then, and he was in danger of losing his life. And we just decided that maybe the best thing to do would be to come back to Cincinnati. And we tried to sell our house at a time when the real estate market in Phoenix was tanked. We lost major money on the house. We had no jobs to come to. It wasn't like there was a cushy corporate move in the offing. That just wasn't part of the deal. And our friends out there thought we were absolutely nuts. It's like, and we weren't quite sure what was happening. But what was happening is that God started putting people around us that made us start to think that maybe life was not so much about the two great careers and the two polished children and the nice house and going out to dinner whenever we wanted. It was more about living life the way God intended it to be. And so when we got back here...
So you get back here, lost your jobs, took a bath on the house.
Yeah.
And how old are the kids?
The oldest was 2 and the youngest was 5 months.
Wow.
And everything that we knew, everything that we had built ourselves, everything we had depended on for life was gone, was just taken away. We moved in with my parents. I was not, you know, the greatest. I mean, I like my parents, but, you know, moving in with two little kids at that point was not easy. And we connected with some young people our age, and we were invited to a Bible study. I thought, ooh, you know, I don't know. Even though I had been a churchgoer and was connected, once I graduated high school and moved away from my parents' home, I never went to church. You know, it just didn't hit for me. As a matter of fact, when I was 14, a family member became a born-again Christian, and I thought she was nuts. I just, you know, it was weird.
So you had some baggage. So she said Bible study, and you thought, well, so why'd you go?
Well, I thought, I guess it couldn't hurt. You know, we were sort of at the end of our
Might as well try this one.
Might as well try it. So we did. And as we got to know people who were in the same place, same stage of life as we were, you know, they were exploring the Bible for the first time. They were trying to sort through the mess that their lives seemed to be in, even though we all looked pretty... it's that looking good, hurting bad thing, you know. We all looked together, but we knew we weren't. And so in the context of searching and talking and being with other people in a similar situation, we were able to kind of really sort of surrender the notion that we were in control. We knew we weren't, but we also knew that that wasn't really the key to how we wanted to live our lives.
And so that was really a pivotal moment in your journey of what it meant for Jeff and you to be followers of Christ.
Yeah.
And then if we fast forward to right now, how do you end up here at Crossroads, you know, Director of Spiritual Growth? First of all, how do you, and then what is that?
Well, you know, being here is kind of a culmination of a life journey of someone who didn't get it and lived for myself for more than half my life now. And one of the neat things that God did for us was when we started to investigate the Bible and take a look at how God really wants us to live, we were doing that along with our two young children. You know, we would sit and we'd look at the Bible together with them, and it was almost kind of like that childlike faith, you know, that's talked about. It was really neat. And so I really have a passion for people who are trying to figure it out. I'm not that far away from having figured it out, you know, and I'm still very much running through crises and other kinds of things. You know, life is not rosy all the time, but
I think it's one of the reasons I'm so excited that you're on staff and offering leadership in this area of how we grow spiritually, is because you can identify, I think, with some of the ways that many of us are out there, and I think just the fact that we're talking about spiritual growth and changing is in and of itself crazy. I've oftentimes been bummed that some people, they take a look at our church, which is just one of many biblically functioning communities. We're using Crossroads as an example, but it's really the basic things a church should be about. And they see, you know, our numbers charting north, and, you know, every seat in here last week was taken, and every seat in Video Cafe, those of you who are over there, thank you very much for being over there. And they think that this place is just about reaching other people or being crazy about our friends like we talked about last week. And it is, but that's not what it is about. It's both. That's why we call our main thing is connecting seekers to a community of growing Christ followers. And we really do expect that you grow around here. We really expect that you develop spiritually. And it's not one or the other. Both of them we have to have equal intensity and passion about. And
right.
I've learned a lot from you, and I'm just glad that you're able to
because
offer some
I'm older
leadership.
And wiser than you.
Much older.
But But no, so the deal is that we've got a lot of opportunities here for people to go, whether they're serving and experiential or whether it's informational, like, you know, deeper study into the Bible or what. So we're trying to figure out what all those things are and help get people plugged in where they need to be, you know, in their journey. So.
Well, you know, speaking of, you know, just kind of growth, and it's about all of us being on this continual process. Where do you find yourself right now? I mean, when we talk about those windows, I mean, what kind of clicks with you of like, boy, yeah, that's something God's doing with me right now?
I think the challenge God is giving me starts like with this kind of thing here today. I'm not the most comfortable person up on a stage, and particularly I'm not comfortable sharing my story. Because in my experience, anytime somebody wanted to come up to me and, you know, share about what God was doing in their life, I kind of thought, whoa, you know, I'm not sure I really want to know about that. So I've always been very cautious about having that conversation with people. And yet, people need to know. People need to know. They need to know how to find the love of God. And
isn't that interesting how you mentioned last, a couple services ago, you kind of compared like working out to walking with Christ. Mm. And I was just thinking as I was listening to you again, Brian, I realized that, you know, all five of those windows, they all demand resistance. You know, when we grow physically, in the physical world, it's lifting weights or something where there's a level of resistance where a muscle gets broken down and then it recuperates and that's how we get stronger. And in all five of those things, those are all levels of resistance. You first become a follower of Christ and everything is new. Nothing seems normal. I mean, praying or reading the Bible, it's hard. It's resistance. Your first leadership opportunity. Maybe you've been a leader before, but now you try to lead something where you think God is really having a hand in it. It's awkward. It's strange muscles. First time you share your faith. Going through crisis. Serving in a cross-cultural experience where you're not comfortable. All of those are difficult. And yet, as Americans, we're wired to be prone to where we want to go, where there is comfort and safety, and that is exactly the place where we don't grow.
Interesting.
And then we get all upset that the church isn't making me grow when we always look for a church that makes us feel comfortable. And we don't grow. We go, no, why am I growing?
Yeah,
because God isn't in the safe zone.
Yeah.
Well, how would you respond to what I asked Dina, just of, okay, for you right now in your life?
Well, maybe I'm a little more fired up about this right now because I'm kind of experiencing this more in my life right now as it relates to the cross-cultural serving stuff. Next week I'll talk a lot more about living my trip to South Africa. But I lived most of my life, whether as a follower of Christ or not a follower of Christ, kind of trying to justify why everybody should be like me. And even in my darker moments, really not giving a rip about the poor or people who weren't like me. And the more I've kind of looked at what God's doing in the Bible and other people's lives, I've realized, man, I need to be about getting outside of my comfort zone. And so I learned a lot while I was in South Africa. One image would just be locked with me, a guy picking through garbage for his food and getting up with a smile on his face. I mean, what are you smiling about? How can you smile like that? It completely, you know, rocks my world. And thinking through, how do I grow in that? And as I'm growing in that, it's hard for me. And at the same time, how do I leverage my leadership in the church to help all of us grow in the midst of that? And I don't really know how to do that. I'm trying to figure it out. And that's part of how I'm personally growing. I'm figuring that out. And God's doing something in me in the midst of those challenges that I don't feel when I'm just given, you know, a joke, 3 points in a poem. In the midst of a sermon,
right.
You know?
Right.
So I think that's the uncomfortable level or the area of resistance that God's growing me right now.
Yeah, it's interesting on those five windows, the idea of resistance. And one of there's a couple themes with those five windows about the only thing that they have in common. And one is that they seem to be exactly how Jesus lived his life on this earth. But then the other one is that this thing of resistance, that they all seem to be places where we rediscover our own inadequacy.
How about you? Where's your point of resistance?
You know, for me, I could tick off all five and how those still continue to play out in my life. I think the biggest one for me right now, it's interesting because you talk about how you return back to some of them. You wouldn't think that new follower of Christ would be one you would return back to, but that's what I find right now is I really find through my study and just praying that God's working in my heart, hey, there's some things about the beginning of that journey that you kind of blew past, Brian. You know, this thing about grace, and you tend to jump so quickly to this being a report card thing and your performance. And I need to go back. You need to really wrestle with what that means. So I find myself, that's the window that I kind of find most bubbling, you know, in my life right now.
Well, and you know, what's interesting about that is that if you really think about it, all growth ultimately becomes spiritual growth, because it's not like you can stick your spiritual self over here and say, okay, on Sunday or on the weekend or on Wednesday night, I'm going to work on that deal. And then, okay, Monday, Tuesday, I'll go work on my real self. It's, you know, it's all within the same context. And I think that's what healthy change is about.
And I think the level for us, why it's so crazy, why we need to be this way in the midst of our church is, you know, being a nice person who reads your Bible and goes to church, that doesn't do it. That does not, that is not where it is. And even if you're indexing it like a 95% in terms of spirituality and morality, big whoop. If you were 95 last year and a 94 3 years ago, We need to be around here looking each other in the eyeball and saying, are you growing? Are you trending to become more like Jesus? Or are you just playing the churchy game?
Yeah.
You know, because that's one of the biggest barriers, I think, to actually me, the biggest barrier to my spiritual life the first 15 years is the church I was going to.
Yeah, and it's
the biggest barrier.
I mean, the Bible and prayer and that stuff, those are tools that God uses to help us grow.
And
are not the end result. You know, the end thing is God says, you know, I want you to be growing. I want you to be changing. You know what? For us, I guess, on a kind of a more specific way, the way I would sum this up is there's a very important caveat that I think you need to have on this thing, and that is we have this overall framework for Crossroads of what we feel the environment that is most conducive to spiritual growth, but you need to know there is no group of people sitting in some room around here somewhere figuring out how they can make you grow. You know, nobody's working on a machine that you could come into and hook up like an IV and just be fed and grow. You know, it's like we talked about at the beginning. It's a two-sided thing. It's God's working growth in you, but it's also your commitment to owning this part of the process. So what I would ask you as you think about this is probably one of these windows we've talked about that most seems to kind of connect for you of where you are in your life right now. And what I would say to you is you need to identify in this next year what is one specific thing that I'm going to do. I'm going to search out here at Crossroads or wherever that needs to be, of how I can grow during this window in my life of what this is and commit to doing it. Because that's the piece that you need to own as part of this. It's a proactive thing. God works growth in our life, but we bring ourselves in a very proactive way to it. So we're going to do another song here. But what I'd like to do is just kind of pray right now and just kind of ask God if he would meet us at this place, wherever we are in here. If there's, you know, 1,200 people in here right now, there's probably 1,200 different answers to that question. But I want to ask that's what God would do in our hearts
right now. Maybe as Ben comes up, Brian, could you give us, like, of those five windows, can you just give us, like, one bullet point example, if we're in one of those windows, what we can tangibly do to grow?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like, you know, and again, I don't know what it would be for you, but maybe for you, it's that you've got some real bleeding going on in your life, and the healthiest step you could take is to share that with a close friend. For the first time ever, you're going to open up and share that wound with a close friend. Or maybe it's that you're going to contact us here at Crossroads and get our list of some great Christian counselors in the area, that will be your step, because you're in crisis right now, and you want it to come out different than it has in the past. Or maybe for you, it's that this is the time, this is the year where you're going to step up to leadership. You're going to get involved somewhere and actually help lead others to help them, yes, but also for your own growth. Or maybe it's just simply saying, wow, this cross-cultural thing, I don't really have that in my life in any meaningful way. I'm going to step out, get out of my comfort zone this next year, and some way I'm going to find a cross-cultural serving opportunity where I know God's going to work growth in me. May look like that for you. I don't know. That's
good. Or the new follower of Christ. Maybe you need to find somebody who's an older follower of Christ, not chronologically, though that was the case, see Dana, not chronologically, but someone who's been walking with Christ for a while and say, hey, how do I, you know, do this? So yeah. Pray when we can do this.
Great.
Well, are we okay? Are we okay?
Yeah.
Did I create crisis here?
No. All right. I'm going to pray for Dana first.
Thank you. Now pray for Brian.
God, this journey is about us and you and the community that's around us, not from us comparing ourselves with others, but from us growing with others and being part of their growth. So please just make it very clear to us what window you really want us to step out and experience your healing and your growth in, particularly in this next year. We pray this in Jesus' name.